This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an illustration of walking in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit, or we can, even as Christians, walk in the flesh. And this morning, we want to talk about walking in the Spirit. What does that mean? And we want to share Christ's example that He gives. And we'll be moving to Matthew. But right now, I want you to open to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. This was precious to me when I first came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I began to learn a little more about the law of God, the law of Moses, and the grace of God. And when we read in Romans chapter 8, we read the first verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. What is condemnation? Condemnation is judgment. Judgment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Condemnation is judgment. And the script Paul tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning as we have another opportunity to share in Your Word, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You've not left us in darkness as to how, as to what You expect and what You would the walk that You would have us to walk while we wait upon Your coming. Father, we are called to minister to a lost and dying world, to reach out to folks on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, it's very important that our walk ought to be a walk that's after the Spirit and certainly not a walk that's after the flesh. So this morning, Father, as we've gathered together, as we've had the wonderful opportunity of our Sunday school program, we thank You for our Sunday school teachers and those that participate. Father, we thank You for the choir and the singing and the special music, Father. And as we come to Your Word, Lord, we just pray that as we share, that the Holy Spirit will minister in a wonderful way, give us wisdom and understanding, that as we share, that others will be blessed. And that as we leave Your house, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And that this week, Father, we'll have an opportunity to share what we've learned. Father, bless us this morning. Get praise, get honor, and glory. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the question is, what does it mean to walk after the Spirit? Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verses 8 through 10. And we've shared these verses many times before. We, in fact, every day or every Sunday when we give the invitation, we invite people to understand or to we share from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 through 10 reads, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there's the mention of works. Works, the first time in these verses, you see the word works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you and I can do in this world that's going to earn us a home in glory. There's no works that we can do that's going to open the door of heaven and let us come home. And so verse 9 says, Paul says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Well, there's works again. There's works. Works is mentioned twice in these verses. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so there are two types of works found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. There's a type of works that is cursed, and there's a type of works that is blessed. And this morning I want to share with you a biblical illustration given by Christ that demonstrates very clearly the difference between works that are blessed and those works that are cursed. Turn with me now, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. The Lord Jesus Christ shares this illustration. And by the way, it's an event that will come to pass by and by. It will come to pass one of these days. Matthew chapter 25, I want to begin reading in verse 31. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. When the Lord comes, He's coming in glory. That's what the Bible says. And you know, the Bible says He's coming again. Some people don't believe that. Some people live today like God doesn't even exist. And even some Christians live today as though they believe He exists, but they don't believe He's coming again anytime soon. And so their testimony and their witness and their sharing the good news or even their walk in the Christian in the world today is not a walk that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a walk that's excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus. But God's coming again, and He could come today. He could come today. Martha and I were visiting with Shirley Hatcher this week, and bless her heart, she's doing so much better than when she was in the hospital. She's back up on her legs, and she's able to get around. But still, there's something. She's had a light stroke, and so there's something that's just not right. And she was telling us that even though she was doing better, she just wasn't feeling quite right. But she said that she knew by and by all this is going to be in the past, and she's going to be doing just fine when the Lord Jesus comes. And we assured her that the Lord could come any day. Talking with Ada too. Ada's been through quite a bit. Bunk and Alice as well. They've been through quite a bit, but they know that whatever the burdens are that they're carrying, physical or emotional or whatever, these things are going to, by and by, they're going to be in the past, and we're not going to have to suffer through these things anymore. I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christians ought to live each and every day as though this is the week or this is the day. Could be the hour that the Lord Jesus is coming. But when the Lord comes, He's coming in glory. He's coming with all of His holy angels, and He's coming for judgment. And of course, this is not talking about the rapture of the church. We are looking forward to the rapture. The rapture is going to take place before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The physical stepping down of God upon the earth, the rapture will take place before that happens. But this is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He'll come and set up His kingdom here on the earth. And so when He comes, He's going to be coming in glory. He's coming with all of His holy angels, and He's coming for judgment. First, we see He's coming in glory, in a body full of light and splendor, a body shining as the sun in all the brilliance of God's eternal power. Secondly, He's coming with all the holy angels. As the suffering Christ, He died on Calvary's cross alone. He died without His disciples. He died without His Father. He died without the very presence of the Holy Spirit. And without one angel to wipe His blood-soaked brow. Isn't that something? Of all the people that should have had the universe around Him and weeping over Him on the Calvary's cross, He had nobody there. In fact, He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And I praise the Lord that you and I don't ever have to suffer through what He suffered through. We don't have to suffer through what He suffered through, but that's what it cost to win us a home in glory. That's the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ is exactly what it cost us to have a home in glory. But when the Lord comes the second time, He will not be suffering, He will not be bleeding, He will not be dying, and He will not be alone. He will be coming in all of God's glory, and He will be coming with all of the holy angels and with 10,000s of His saints. And finally, the text implies that He'll be coming in judgment. Each man and woman will give an account in that day of judgment. Each man and woman will give an account of their activities in the day of judgment. In Romans 14, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God." That's right. Even Christians one day will give a testimony of what they did and how they lived their lives, knowing that they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How was that relationship? How did that relationship affect their daily walk? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, the Bible says, "But I say unto you," and this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of there in the day of judgment." Well, in this particular piece of Scripture, Christ is referring to this particular day. And the day of Christ's judgment has come for in this particular text. Verse 33 says, "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." Now, we're talking this morning about what it means to walk in the Spirit and what it means to walk in the flesh. The sheep are the true believers. Let me read verse 33 again. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And so you have sheep and you have goats. I would venture to say they were all together at one time, but God's going to sort it all out. God's going to take the goats out from among the sheep. He's going to set the sheep over here. He's going to set the goats, or sheep's going to be on his right hand, the goats on his left. And the sheep are the true believers. Their heart belongs to Christ and their fellow man. These are they that have kept the law of God naturally. They have kept the law of God naturally. They didn't have to strain to keep the law. It came naturally from their innermost being. And what law am I talking about? What law am I talking about? Am I talking about keeping the Ten Commandments, or am I talking about keeping the law of Christ? The law of Christ. The law of Christ. The simple law of Christ is that we love God and we love one another. We love God and we love one another. That's the law of Christ. The Ten Commandments, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, Paul says, Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. When we look into the Ten Commandments, we see our sinfulness, we see our weakness, we see our failure in living a perfect life, and a life that would bring honor and glory to the Lord. So the law is our schoolmaster. It shows us how far short we fall. From the righteousness of Christ. And so Christ gives us two new commandments. He says, if you'll love the Lord and love your brother, he says, upon these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. And so we're talking about people who are living, sheep who are living naturally by the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of Christ is recorded in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. That's quite a load, isn't it? Are you doing that today? Are you doing that today? Let me levy that on you again. That's pretty powerful. It's pretty and I think it's pretty heavy. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know, let me tell you this. I am so thankful that the Lord Jesus died in my stead, because I don't think that I accomplish all of this. And I don't think you accomplish all of this. But my heart's desire is to love the Lord. My heart's desire is to love one another. You know, Peter said, oh Lord, I love you. I love you so much that I would die for you. Well, Peter was just running off at the mouth at that time, wasn't he? He didn't really mean that, because it came to a point in time when Peter could have put his life on the line for the Lord Jesus, and he backed off. He ran off and hid. And he even denied he knew the Lord Jesus. I'm not that bold this morning. And I trust that you're probably not that bold this morning to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. Well, I love the Lord, and I love my brothers and sisters. But I'm not sure that I live up to that standard, but I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and He died for me, so that one of these days, whatever I can accomplish for Him in keeping those two laws, I trust that it'll bring honor and glory to Him, not to me. Matthew 22:40. On these two commandments, Christ said, hang all the law and the prophets. And so the sheep are those that have a natural love for Christ and their neighbor, energized by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Energized by the indwelling Holy Spirit. These are set on Christ's right hand. In other words, they see a need, and they just respond to that need because they love that individual. They may not even know that individual. You know, I told you about this Martha, you know, see these people out on the street corners, and they've got these signs, homeless, you know, will work for food and shelter and all of this. And to be honest with you, I looked at it as a ripoff. And Martha told me, she said, stop, I'm going to give them, well, you're just pandering to the fact that they're not going to get a job. And Martha said, I don't care. She's not interested in whether, what, she might be pandering to. She sees a need there. We'll stop, we're going to give to them, and whatever they do with it is between them and the Lord. And you know, it feels good to do that. I mean, you know, some people say, well, you know, if people stop and give money to these people standing on the corner because it makes them feel good. Well, hallelujah. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Even if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I mean, it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do if it makes them feel good. But I can tell you this, if you're doing it to gain eternal life, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus, and maybe to be able to minister a moment or two on behalf of the Lord Jesus, that's laying up treasure in heaven. That's laying up treasure in heaven. So the sheep are on the right hand. Everything that they've done is by nature. They've just done it because of, out of love. Whatever they've done for the Lord. They've done out of love. And by the way, you're going to find out that these sheep didn't even realize that every time they did something that they were doing it for the Lord. But let's go on. Verse 33, the last part. But the goats are set on the left. The goats are professors, but not possessors of Christ's heart of love. These folks parade themselves as Christians like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, but they possess no true love for their brothers and sisters, nor do they exhibit any true worship of Christ in their daily walk. And now they will be exposed, and so the goats are set on the left. You know, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And so many in this world will read that scripture and they just go on and live their life any way they want to live, and they think that they're never going to there's never going to be an accountability for that. And yet, lo and behold, right here, God says, they're standing over here with the sheep. I'm going to jerk them right out of from among the sheep and set them right over here. And I'll tell you what, they may have the greatest complexion on their, countenance on their face while they're over here with the sheep. When God grabs hold of them, sets them over here, they're going to be white as sheep. Their face is going to be white as sheep because the goats are going to be judged. In verse 34, the Lord says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand." Now who's on the right hand? Sheep. "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now here's an inheritance. It's a gift. The sheep are being given the kingdom. And why are they being given the kingdom? Verse 35. Jesus says, "For I was unhungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind of Jesus sharing this with the sheep, sharing this with the sheep. Now, while Jesus is talking to the sheep, just think about what the goats are thinking. The goats, hearing this, are exhausted just thinking about all of this service that these sheep have been doing. And they ask the question, when did they have time to do all of this? We didn't have time to feed the hungry. We didn't have time to give drink to the thirsty. We didn't have time to cater to visitors or to clothe the naked or visit the sick. And we couldn't dare, and we wouldn't dare go near the prisons. Lord, that's where the wicked are. But notice the question of those that did all of this. They asked the question, verse 37. Now, mind you, these are sheep. They're ones who have come to know Christ as personal Savior. They have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit living in them. And they go about doing good. They go about doing good because they are energized by the Holy Spirit. Not by self-exaltation or what have you. They are doing it because of the very presence of the Holy Spirit in them. And listen to what they say. Were they doing it to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus? Well, I believe they were. But they did not realize something. Look at verse 37. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee?" We remember, you know, we remember that beggar on the side of the road, and we remember that we helped him and some others, but we don't remember seeing you there. "When saw we there thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" Isn't it ironic that the good that the sheep did for others out of a natural heart of love, they did not realize at the very same time that they were serving their Lord? They didn't know they were serving Christ. They didn't know for certain ones to serve. They didn't set prerequisites for who was worthy of service and who was not. They saw a need and they responded to it. The sheep of Christ in their service to others never considered that a particular work was worthy of special reward. They served others out of a heart of love and compassion simply because there was a need. And these were the sheep of God set upon his right hand. And verse 40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And all these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." You know, these goats, if they had known, if they could see a light somehow shining down from heaven on a particular incident, and they could say, oh, hey, whatever we do here for this one, God's watching here. Well, they'd hurry over there and do it, wouldn't they? They'd hurry over there and do it. If they knew that they were going to get patted on the back for going over and giving a cup of water to this one because they can see the light shining down, if they know they're going to get a pat on the back, well, they'll hurry over there and do that. But anybody else left out there, while they've got there, they don't have the time. We don't have the time for it. If somebody wants to come up and pat me on the back, well, I'll pat them on the back. But other than that, I don't have the time for all these other things. And Christ said, "Depart from me." Ye cursed. And these shall go away, the Bible says, into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The works that are cursed are those that are done for outward show, for personal gain, and for hope of glory. The works generated by the Holy Spirit are those done from a natural heart of love for all God's creation, nurtured by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Works that are ignorant of personal gain and works that are unselfish and yet compassionate. Which category does your work for Christ fall into today? Are you working for Christ anticipating great rewards and glory? Or are you working because you love the Lord Jesus and have been filled with His Holy Spirit and love your fellow man? Well, I tell you, I hope this morning naturally you have a desire to serve the Lord by serving others. And I hope today that you're not just you're picking and choosing who you're going to serve and who you're going to help and who you're not going to help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we can turn there in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to close with just reading 13 verses. 13 verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," that's love, by the way, "I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profits me nothing. Here Paul is talking about doing these things for a specific reason that's not honorable to God. Paul says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, and believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. Charity or love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know when that's going to happen? Let me tell you when that's going to happen. That's going to happen the very day that the eastern sky splits and God comes back to set up his kingdom on this earth. And that's going to happen when God begins to separate the sheep from the goats. And my friend, today you have the very presence of the Holy Spirit that wants so adamantly to work in your life and to reach out to others in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a miserable... I'm telling you, everybody that I've talked with you, you've talked with me, and we know that we live in a different world than we lived in 50 years ago. The devil is having his due time today. The darkness is over our nation, it's over our communities. And we need to be lights shining in that darkness, reaching out to others in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't need to be picking and choosing who we're going to serve and who we're not going to serve. Amen? The only thing that's going to stand before God is not my teaching ability or my preaching ability, my musical ability, which I have limited, or my administrative ability, which I too, I depend on Rita. But the only thing that's going to stand before God is my love for him and my love for others. Isn't that right? The final verse of 1 Corinthians 13 says, "And now abides faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what?" Amen. Amen. Are you walking in the Spirit these days? Or do you find yourself more so walking in the flesh? What kind of entertainment are you being entertained by today? The devil offers a wide variety. Heard that commercial about the badger, you know? I'd like to have a blue car. Have you got a blue car? Oh, we don't have any blue cars. But we got a wide variety. Wide variety. Well, the devil's got a wide variety of entertainment out there that just robs us of time. And the Bible tells us that time's running out. Time's running out. And what we need to do quickly. Amen? Let's walk in the Spirit. And let's not be walking in the flesh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your blessings, Father. We thank you, Father, for these that have come this way. We thank you, Lord, for church family, Father, that binds together. And that, Father, as we wait upon your coming, we encourage one another in the strength of the Lord. Father, for those that might be here this morning that have never yet made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, they don't know whether they have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them or not. I pray today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would so knock and pound upon that heart's door, that, Father, that they'll open their heart's door and say, "Lord, come into my life, and I open my door, the door to my heart, and I ask you to come in. I ask forgiveness of my sins, Lord, and I ask you to cleanse my heart and take up residence right here and lead me and guide me." Father, I pray that one who's troubled about their relationship with Christ will pray that prayer. And that the Holy Spirit will so fill their lives that today will be the very first day of the rest of their Christian life. Father, for those that know you as their personal Savior, but somehow, Father, have been led adrift and they're out in the world, Father, and they're being more they're receiving more of the message of the world than they are of being a messenger for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray too, Father, that they'll rededicate their life to Christ, that they'll begin to put on that face that is a reflection of the love and the compassion and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and go out into the world and be ready to be a witness as the Holy Spirit provides opportunity. Now, Father, you just bless your church family today, Father. Give us as we give you praise, honor, and glory. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, Amen.